Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Let's go, baby, let's go, let's go, let's go. One more time, one more time. Hey, welcome back, Jesse Tappy.
Hey,
hey,
let's get it.
What's up, man?
Let's get it.
I missed you guys.
I kind of believe you.
Yeah, I did. I was all excited to come to work. We flew in about 12:30 a.m. I guess this morning. Went to bed about 2:30, but now I was all amped ready to go this morning.
Okay,
everyone else took the day off. I was telling the insiders, everyone else took the day off from the trip and all that. I'm the one back at work.
Let's go, baby.
Come on, man. Shout out,
let's go, baby. Our man is back,
sir.
His Dolphins got a victory. They back in the playoff picture. The cat, the Celtics get a win against the Cavs.
Yeah. Nice little run.
No, I knew he was back when he had a little tweet last night.
Oh, yeah,
a little,
yeah,
little smart ass tweet last night. I saw it.
It wasn't a smart ass tweet. It was the truth. You go 15-0 and you're still the second best team in the league. Give me a break.
It's the tone, though. It's the tone. Like, you know, because I know Jesse's voice. I read the text in his tone. He's like, nice little winning streak, I guess. Still runs through Boston.
We got to go 15-0. Celtics still the best team in the league. That's tough.
We got a Kyle Madsen Jesse impersonation yesterday.
Oh, did we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have Jesse. Jesse's got that back from vacation tone. He is feeling nice right now. Plus the win last night, plus the win on Sunday.
I got it. Look, I got to, you know, welcome him back with a loss. At some point today, it's happening. He's going to lose.
Did you pick up any wins while I was gone?
Well, I did, but they're not counting them.
No, he didn't. No, I picked up like two,
but they not counting them. It's cool. Were you here when I said when I got the victory for 6 wins in the first 10 games? And they didn't give it to me?
No, that's not pocket watching.
Yeah,
that's not just saying stuff on the radio.
And then Jesse, I don't know if you heard, but I said that Doug McDermott from November 18th to December 1st is going to shoot 43% from beyond the arc. He already started off 66%. When this comes true, it should be a W
for
me
not,
as well.
I need to know how that take even came about.
Well, yeah, bro.
How did we get from Doug McDermott from November, from the second week of November? What were we talking about?
The time frame, the player.
Yeah.
That's a little random.
Little random on
while
my
you were
part.
Sleeping.
Yeah. We'll get into
that. I got questions too while I was gone.
Okay.
Do we have beef with Worldwide WAP?
Yeah, like maybe a little bit.
Just let me know where we're going.
It's family. That's our man.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean,
but you know, if Reese says, gotta, say, rally the troops, then we do what we got
to
do.
Well, I mean, at the same time, we don't have to DeRozan the situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my people's, they're my people's.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Already.
Man, you really hung up on that, aren't you? Man, get out the car, my man, and salt me
look,
and everything.
I almost got beat up for showing, for giving a compliment.
Well,
I gave him a compliment. I got out the my man D-Lo for everybody looking, watching on YouTube right now, D-Lo and Casey. I said, my man looking fly. I say he got a, I said, and it's a compliment. I say he got a Drake fit on today, man. Boy, looking good. And he almost slapped me.
Well, and what I say, it really
you
was.
Said, you said it's a Malik fit, yeah. And it is a Malik fit as well. So major, I'll call it a Malik fit. I don't want to get in trouble.
This major Malik vibes here.
Also, salute to whoever thought Mike Tyson was gonna whatever.
No. Well, no, you know, the new thing, it was rigged, and Mike wasn't allowed to throw uppercuts.
Yeah, that, and then his training videos. Look at his training videos. Yeah, he's not boxing anyone right there.
Come on, man. That's what they're saying, though. They're saying it's fixed. They said there was agreement that Mike couldn't throw uppercuts. The video shows it. All right, B. Mm. All right, B. Hey, I can't. The chokehold Mike Tyson has on America is crazy. It really is. Like, one day we're just going to sit down and study it.
I turned that fight off after the fourth round. That was sad. Happy to be back, though.
I was. Let's get started. Hey, it's not Friday.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey, what we doing?
It's not Friday.
What we doing? You're just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut. Come on, man. What's good, baby?
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's good,
what up,
baby?
What up? Yeah.
I'm Damian Barley.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
I'm in God mode.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
In the worst slums of Sacramento.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Let's go, baby.
Well, we'll be back with more here. shout out to Prince and Soul For Real. Missed them
next
on the
time,
rain.
We'll have There's plenty more, of time.
Yeah, I don't think the rain is slowing down. No. It's going to be an interesting Causeway Classic this weekend.
Damn. Yeah.
We go open with a different rain song the rest of the week. I just thought of another. I got to start taking notes of all these records.
It's not supposed to stop till Friday.
Is going to stop raining Friday?
No, I'm sorry. Next Friday.
That checks out. Yeah,
I think Monday it's not going to rain. I think they said that. Hopefully it doesn't. We got Tinashe that night. I don't want to be out in the rain.
Right. That's right.
But yeah, it's the rain is here, guys. Yep. The rain is here. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, it is. It is here for real. Goodness gracious. Oh, man, we're happy that you're here with us as we get the show going back. We in full force. Jesse Tapia back with us.
It's a little mini mini summer.
Yeah, kind of. Like, I was looking, like, it was start. To, I had the computer open last. All right, what are we going to do tomorrow? I was like, I don't know, man. Kings don't play tonight. Don't play tomorrow. We could bitch about Monty McNair because I don't know how we don't. Like, does anyone think Monty didn't miss on Dalton Connect? I remember Dalton Connect being the topic of conversation at night.
Yes. He was that topic of conversation for weeks.
Now he out here doing Jordan shrugs and what was it, 21 in the third?
Adam Silver read that card, and I kind of looked at Kenny like, okay, hopefully.
Yeah. I either wanted they're going to trade this pick to get Kyle Kuzma, or if you weren't going to trade it, get Dalton Connect. I'm not the only one. I'm not saying it like I'm the only one, like I found him, but I wanted Dalton Connect since I seen him in December.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be a top five pick.
Yeah.
He was that good. Now, who knows what's going to happen with the rest of his season or whatever. I just know he's skilled.
Well, he's been solid this year. He's not. I mean, he's not averaging 30 or whatever he did last night.
He might already be better than Austin Reeves.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Be better than Austin Reeves. But the thing that I'll say.
He had that building on fire.
He's electric.
That building erupted when he got hot.
He's an electric scorer.
Like a legit buzz. When he took that shot, when he got...
the Palm Angels. I see you, big dog.
When he got fouled, when he took that shot, the arena was still buzzing from the three he hit before. Yeah. And they wanted that shot to go in so bad, man.
Man, it's tough to see. It's not... I don't want to, you know, overstate this. It's not Luka and Marvin. I'm not saying that. But, damn, man, he was right there for you. He was right there. You could have had him. He would have been a great piece. Now, there's one reason specifically.
Well, Kenny, here's why it doesn't work. We're in win-now mode. So what we did is we drafted a player who can't actually play.
And that's what's going to give me pause from – like going crazy on the whole situation. Because we don't know. We haven't seen Devin Carter. Devin Carter could be just as good. We don't know.
Could be.
I don't think he's a better player than Dalton Connect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that. But we'll find out. The thing that I'm really struggling with is even when he gets healthy, when and where does he play?
Right.
People talking about he's a point guard. Number one, I watched this game enough. He might have played point guard at Providence. He's not a point guard, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. But we'll find out. I don't know. Like, he's not playing over Fox, not playing over Monk in crunch time. I don't think coming into this season, during the entire season, I don't think he's a better option than Keon Ellis. Like, I don't think he's – I know what the splits say in college, but – just looking, I don't think he's a better shooter than Keon. I don't think he's a better shooter or scorer than Kevin Huerter. So maybe you're talking about Jordan minutes, but Jordan wasn't getting minutes until Malik got hurt.
Malik got hurt, yeah.
So I don't know why they drafted him. A lot of people really, really like his game, like the scouts and the people, the analysts, the college basketball analysts, they were praising the pick all over the place on draft night. I don't know why they drafted him.
I would like to know if they knew he was going to be out for 6 to 8 months, too, when they drafted him. I would like to know the reasoning as to, like, why. I don't get why you take a guy who's going to be out for 6 to 8 months knowing you probably are trying to win now.
I think they did.
It'd be worse if they didn't,
I'm really confident that they did. There was...
So why do you make that pick?
I don't know. I don't know. We had heard... before the draft and then that day that, like, Devin Carter's medicals, he could miss, like, time. Then it kind of amplified. We started hearing it from two or three people within NBA circles that night, and it became clear pretty quick he's not going to start the season.
Right.
So I have to assume they knew the timeline, but I don't know. I don't know why the Kings thought that was the move. Maybe the reason they thought that was the move, Casey, was because they knew there wouldn't be room. So you draft a player who, look, he's not going to be ready right away. He's going to have time. Kind of a de facto first year redshirt rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll focus on the group that we have, and then we could start working him in, you know, as the season winds down and expect him to have a bigger role next year. What that role is, I'm not really sure. But maybe that is part of the thinking, whether it was Dalton Connect or Devin Carter. Maybe they weren't really sure about where they'd get minutes for him on the floor.
Yeah. We're also talking about Jerry McCain, too, you know, and what he's done so far. It's a local kid that could have came home. The one thing is, I think about it right now, which we know how the NBA works, so – there's a 50-50 chance with this. Maybe they didn't know about Malik Monk. Because that was late June.
What do you mean? Whether Monk was going to sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe they didn't know. But the reason why I preference that is we know how the NBA works.
Mm-hmm.
You specifically should have a good idea, right?
You're not
in the dark about
it. Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on 2 weeks before the signing. So I don't know. Like I said, I stall him out a little bit because we haven't.
Can I poke a hole in that real quick?
Yeah.
So you don't know about Malik Monk, but you're going to draft a guy who's out for 6 to 8 months?
Well, there's that too. I mean, there's.
That was a pretty gaping hole that you just poked in that theory.
Sorry, bud.
No, you're just spot on.
Carve a cannon in that crap you just said.
I'm trying everything I can to stall these guys out, but it doesn't make it right now. It's not looking good.
It doesn't. It's not Dalton Kinect's performance last night that is causing this conversation. The conversation has been there since draft night. It's amplified here during the season, and I do think at times where the Kings were struggling with the three-point shot, we're acting like that's past tense. With the Kings struggling for the three-point shot, you feel like there was a three-point shooter out there, and maybe you couldn't have anticipated this, and that's perfectly fine as well. It feels like a miss on multiple levels. It feels like a lot of Kings fans were confused when that draft pick was made, and they only got more confused when they found out he wasn't going to play.
Yeah. And once again, here I go. I'm stalling out. Mind you, I would have taken Dalton Kinect.
You keep doing it. If I can find, yeah.
I would have. Oh well, Monty. I would have drafted Dalton Kinect. I would have traded for Kyle Kuzma, or I would have drafted Jerry McCann. I would not have drafted Devin Carter. However, there is an argument to be made that I don't know if a rookie is cracking this lineup at all this year.
And that's fine.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everybody being there, they're like nine deep. You know what I'm saying? Not players. Well,
he's back. Hey, he's back.
But they had a rotation of 9-10 guys already before you even get to the rookie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a rookie they would have drafted, even if they would have took Dalton Kinect. I don't know where the minutes are coming from. Maybe
they
like
would have showed up this week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's.
Which was a catastrophic week, right? Like, you lost three of your best players.
They might have. Sure. Absolutely. You might have gotten run with just Malik out.
Yeah. Or, I would say, yeah.
Been more Jordan. But
they would have found time for him.
Yeah.
I think if it was just Malik, you still would have found time for him. But it's tough, man. It's tough. And like I said, I'm a reserve judgment because we hadn't even seen the guy play a minute, which is kind of the problem. But he could be fantastic when he gets on the court. We don't know. Mm-hmm. So we'll see when he gets out there. But it's tough to see Dalton Kinect doing what he's doing, Jerry McCann doing what he's doing. Kyle Kuzma isn't doing that well, but. Mm-hmm. It's tough to see all this going on, and you have to bring in Isaac Jones and Mason Jones and all this other stuff. So tough.
Got all three Joneses on the floor, man. It's either a really good night or a really bad night, or something went wrong for the Sacramento Kings, and that's kind of been the case. But nonetheless, that was a pretty electric moment at the Crypto.com Arena last night with the Lakers getting that win over the Jazz, 9 of 12, 37 points for Dalton Kinect in that one, including a ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous third quarter. Celtics handed the Cavs their first loss of the season. That game started. Whoo! That was a little rocky. I actually felt bad for the whole city of Cleveland when that game started. And then as we wrapped up on KSFM, it started to wind down a little bit, got much closer, and Celtics were able to pull that out. Yep. Celtics heard all the noise. They're like, "Yeah, we got this. We'll take care of this."
I think
in season tournament win.
I didn't see anything that made me feel any different about either team, and about my stance that I think Cleveland can go to the finals. I think they can beat Boston in the 7-game series. If they play today, I don't know what I would predict. I think I'd predict Boston still, but I think Cleveland they got the team that can challenge them. And today, they are the best, you know,
challenger.
Opponent. Yeah, best challenger for Boston, not the Knicks, who I picked to go to the NBA Finals. The Knicks still trying to work some stuff out, but 12 games in, 15 games. If the playoffs started today, I think the Cavs are the one team that can challenge Boston. And they still might lose, but I think they can challenge them.
I think they are the second best team in the East. I'm not sure what to make of the rest of the Eastern Conference, to be honest. Like, Philly just stinks right now. I don't know if they're going to pick it up.
I don't think they are.
Milwaukee is a work in progress. It's just, and Orlando is a year too early probably at this point.
Yeah, Orlando's interesting. Orlando in L.A. tonight, I think. Clippers. Yeah, I think it's the Clippers and Magic tonight. But so, like, you, so you're in on Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland is a great team. They're good.
Okay.
Like, I'm making jokes and all that, but they're a good basketball team. Great.
Okay. Yeah, they are the second best team. I think the Knicks will go on a bit of a run at some point and establish themselves. But after that, I'm with Jesse. I think the East is the Orlando's interesting when Paolo gets back because they played well without him, and that surprises me. So I want to see them when Paolo gets back. But I really think it's those four. You know, they're already having discussions and writing articles about flexing Philly out of game.
Well,
tough. I saw them on Monday. Didn't look good for them.
Yeah, I heard you went to the game, huh?
Yeah, I was out there on Monday.
All right. Make Miami, sure I got not my... the best sports city, huh?
It's not. It's terrible. It's honestly, it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's messy. Like, Messi's number one. You can get some Heat love. Everything else is just, it's all fair weather, I think.
I remember when the Heat won the title, the LeBron years, and no, it wasn't LeBron years. It was the first Heat title, because I think it was David Stern.
Okay.
Because I don't think it was Adam Silver. I feel like it was David Stern who was like, yeah, the great fans here in the city of Miami. Like,
how are you going to say that and right, still have David. The team there?
All right, David. Whatever, man. Whatever, bro. So were you in Miami the whole time you were gone?
Yeah, we were in Miami. I mean, we hit the Everglades and stuff like that. Saw some gators, but... Yeah,
like, you
Miami.
Went to the Everglades on purpose.
Yeah, yes. We hopped in the airboat. We were going through. Saw a couple of gators. I ate some gator after.
I'm sorry.
Well,
yes.
First of all, I'm just
sorry.
Glad you're here today.
I'm sorry.
I mean?
Like, no, it's for us. Like, hey, don't stick your hand in the water because you might eat your hand. I could have been like the golf... What's the golf coach from Happy Gilmore? His name? Chad, can help me with that.
I can't remember. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were there. He's like, oh, yeah, so I'm going to turn the boat this way and then this way so that you can all see the gator. I got videos and stuff.
So you took a boat.
Airboat.
To the Everglades.
Well, we took a RV, a big bus to the Everglades, and then we hopped on an airboat into the Everglades.
So you was like swamp people. You was really like swamp
people. I was like swamp people. I was sitting on the edge. Well, Crystal was on the edge because she wanted to see. I was like, all right, well, I'll sit next to you here.
All right, man. It's Chubbs.
We was hitting the gas, too. We were good. We were going fast through the Everglades. It was a fun time. There was an alligator show after. I can show you the
show. No, I'm sorry.
Yes. They rescued them, so it's cool, though.
What show do we have with alligators?
What do alligators do that you need to sit down and watch?
Well, it wasn't a show. He taught us about alligators, and then he did this thing where he had, like, to open the alligator's mouth, and he put his face right here.
No. Why? For what?
I don't know. Hey, no, listen. He don't even get paid for this. Because they can't get insurance or anything. Because if the alligator eats your face off, then, like, we're liable for that.
Yeah, I'm not insuring that either. Yo, this is...
Oh, Chris, it really was like with Bobby Boucher.
Okay.
There's a white guy, right, who stuck his head in the alligator's face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch him put my head right here. Right here. Look, everybody taking pictures right here.
I don't know what that is, but that might be your funniest impression. Oh, man. Well,
I got this gator right here. I'm putting my head here. Everybody taking pictures. I'm not afraid of nothing.
That's crazy, dude.
That was low-key one of the funnest parts of the trip, too.
That's crazy, Jesse. Wow.
I just wanted to do that when we went to New Orleans. We just didn't have time, or I said we didn't have time.
Is that when you went to the plantation instead?
Well,
boy, you guys had a fun trip planned. Let's go. Let's go to this former plantation and then go check out some gators when we're done.
She wanted to go to the swamp.
She sounds like the worst vacationer ever.
Yeah, we didn't have time. Oh. That's what I told her.
Man.
Oh, man.
All right.
Yeah, bad sports city, fun vacation spot, though.
Mm. All right.
Weather good?
Yeah, weather was great. It was all 70s and 80s, humid, hot, whatever.
How was Dolphins Raiders?
That was fire. That was great. I talked to two on the team before. I told them, like, get your head out of your ass. We need you.
Okay.
All right, Mike McDaniel started calling some runs, and they did that. Now if we beat the Patriots next week. We're game under 500, back into a playoff spot almost.
Should handle the Patriots, too.
So I was kind of joking, but, like, I looked at the conference standings, and I was like, wait a minute.
I think
the Dolphins really are right there.
Yeah. I think they're playing their best football right now, too. I think they got to win out, and then you got to get 2 out of 3 against the Niners, Texans, and Packers. And that'll get you 10-7.
Ooh.
Mm. 10-7 get you in.
I think 10-7 will get you in because you could beat the Jets twice. I'm sure they'll beat the Patriots. I think someone else I'm missing, but we'll see what happens. They got a shot.
They do.
But it's not real. It's not real unless they win this week, though.
So you
who's
get
this week?
The Patriots in Miami.
Patriots, yeah.
You get that win, and you know, like I said, you get a shot, and you're looking at Whew, you're looking at some version of Kansas City, Buffalo, or Pittsburgh in round one. Hmm.
Oh, just get there, though.
Yeah, just get,
just get there. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, just get
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
I've also changed course on Mike McDaniel. He's made adjustments, so I'm back on Mike McDaniel. They're not doing the whole throw to Tyreek. It's not working.
Oh, well, how about that?
I said I would give him time, and he made the adjustments.
I don't think you guys said
that. No, we can run back the tape. Kenny was out.
I don't know what Jesse said.
I was like, I'm kind of leaning towards Kenny because he's not making adjustments, but he finally started.
Well, look. Yeah,
I know. We still got to beat a 500 team, too. Yeah, I know.
This isn't the issue. Beating the Raiders isn't the issue.
I know, dude. We play the Packers in 2 weeks. Give us a chance.
Boy. Where's it at?
Green Bay on Thanksgiving.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. If they win that one, then here we go. It's not real till
the Polo L says the Dolphins are pointing at the WrestleMania sign if they win this weekend.
Shout out, Polo. Let them know.
It's always the worst part about WrestleMania, the slow look to the sign.
It'll still be better than Ronda Rousey's point, too.
Everything will be better than what Ronda Rousey did. Her first one was the worst, and it, like, didn't get... All right.
Ronda Rousey was a moment in WWE. Now looking back, it was kind of it was like great at first. It's like, oh, it got really bad now.
Her match, the one with Angle and Hunter and Steph, that match was fire. Like, they did a great job. Like, the moment when Hunter and Ronda went at it, like, that was terrific. But that was about it. And it was also supposed to be The Rock and not Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
When you know the backstory,
they booked that angle like a year prior, and all of a sudden, well, make it Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah, Ronda Rousey. I didn't enjoy anything from Ronda Rousey.
Understandable.
Ever. The anniversary of her getting her ass beat by Holly Holm was a couple days ago. I watched that clip on Twitter. I even retweeted it.
That was one of those moments where when you saw her at the weigh-in, you were like, oh, she might get her ass kicked.
Mm.
She was like emotional and yelling and screaming, and she had never done that before. Mm-hmm. And Holly came in and she kicked that woman straight in the head.
Oof. All downhill after that, too.
Said she couldn't eat an apple.
And then who got her next? Was it Amanda?
Yeah.
Amanda
just beat her into retirement. Yes.
Amanda said.
Beat her to a WWE ring.
Yep. Yeah. Go,
get out of here, girl.
Yep. Mm. Go tag team with Kurt Angle.
And the writing was already on the wall for me. I was, get her out of here. Get her out of here. I don't need to see her. I already got rid of her in the UFC. I don't need to see her on WWE. Get her out of here. She didn't last long.
Terrible. Coming out in Rowdy Piper's jacket, looking ridiculous.
Not Dr. David. This is a real conversation for like 12 months. Ronda Rousey's just like Mike Tyson. All right, B. All right.
Well, no, that's not fair. The comp was you're tuning in to see if Ronda's going to beat you in the first round. That was the Mike
that
Tyson
thing.
That
was for like a year. Tyson did it for 7 years.
Yeah, but the conversation was a year. Like, I don't think Tyson did it for 7 years.
I don't think so.
And then he did it for like 3.
Bro, Tyson's done it for like 27. People were tuning in thinking he could win the other day.
That's a fact. Like,
that's what I'm saying. The chokehold that man has is crazy.
The
man.
Fact that they're telling people 108 million people tuned into that fight.
Crazy.
Goodness gracious.
That is a crazy number. And like I said, because I was reading something on that this morning, they didn't go by the Nielsen metric, so
of course not
as audited as the other ones. But I can believe it. Like I said, we were downtown on Friday. Everywhere had that fight on.
Yeah.
Everywhere we went had that fight on. So yeah. I could believe it.
The truth be told, 108, given they said 60 million households, 108 is probably conservative.
Mm.
Like, how many people watched that fight by themselves?
Yeah, exactly. So, well, like, I did.
Hell, I didn't even watch it by myself. I was with you guys.
I did the quick math, and let's just say everybody had at least one person.
Yeah.
That's 120 million.
Right.
And that's just saying one people. Like, we were at a bar.
That's not counting Polanco.
We had a bar. There was 75 people watching the fight. So,
yeah.
That was crazy.
And everywhere we went, people were looking down on it. Like, Kim and Allie were watching it. Like, Katie was like, everyone was like looking at a phone to watch this fight.
Yeah.
People were trying to lay wagers about Mike Tyson winning. Like, let's not do that. Don't do that.
If I was a more confident gambler, I would have took everybody's money.
Oh, man.
There was a mine months ago. I was like, hey, I'm taking all bets.
Your boy put 250 grand on Tyson, didn't he?
Yeah, he's got a bad loser.
Call the number, bro.
He got a bad losing streak. He's not Floyd. Although Floyd only shows us when he wins.
Mustard on the beat, ho. I saw, I read an article. I think it was ESPN's. Mm-hmm. It was about the fight. And then it was Netflix claims, .. Click on the article. Now, you know, this solidifies, you know, Jake Paul might be a YouTuber turned boxer, but this solidifies him as boxing's top draw. And all I could think was, you thought this was about Jake Paul?
Yeah, no.
Not even close.
This was about Mike Tyson.
It's not.
And you're 100% right. The chokehold that Mike has mm-hmm. on society all of these years later is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We still want to believe, because we see those workout videos, we see that Mike can end you with one punch.
Is there anyone close to that? I hate using this word because it's always overused. Not like aura of Mike Tyson, like 58-year-old Mike Tyson. There was grown Jordan. People like he's gonna win, guys. He's gonna win.
Say
it's
again.
Mike
Jordan.
Jordan, up until I think 50 years old, there's always, oh, could Jordan come back? I feel like there's always those little conversations on his birthday every year.
Maybe.
And it's not even, because
it's not like he played for the Wizards.
No.
Soren throws in a good one. Tiger with golf.
Yeah, Tiger has an aura. Yeah.
He does.
Yeah,
he
Tiger. Does. Like, if Tiger is there on a Sunday,
yes,
people are tapped in. Now, can Tiger get to a Sunday? Different conversation. No. Different conversation. But if he's there, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Tiger's a good one.
Tiger and Mike. And when I say Mike, it's not even necessarily him playing right now. It's just the people who saw him, like myself, like us.
But here's the problem with Mike is it's over. Mm-hmm. Like Mike Tyson just showed, it's not at 58, it's not over.
We
still tuned in wondering if he could win.
Yeah.
And we were 1 minute into that fight. 1 minute. I don't want to see this. Mm-hmm. We were 1 minute into the fight before I say out loud, I think Mike can get him. Why is Jake Paul breathing like that?
I thought Jake Paul was a little scared in that first round and a half. Like, not scared, but like he was a little shook. Like, I'm in the ring with Mike Tyson right now. And he fell like into what everybody else fell into. Like, this is Mike Tyson I'm fighting right now. Like, I got to be careful. And then he's like, wait a minute.
Didn't Jake lose? Did
he Jake lose? To Tyson Fury's little brother.
Tommy Fury.
Was that his last fight? Didn't he?
I think he fought.
Because that's the
then.
One where Bomani Jones asked him, hey, what happens if you lose? And Jake got pissed. And
yeah. Yeah. And then, it was when Tommy Fury, I think he's fought once since then.
Oh, okay.
And like the article you read, it's yes and no. Like, Jake would do the best numbers of any combat fighter out there, UFC or boxing, by himself. But he wouldn't do 60 million households if it wasn't for Tyson. Like, that was more about Tyson.
If Jake Paul's next fight is on Netflix, it's not going to do those numbers.
No. Unless he can't fight another YouTube. Well, maybe he could and do big numbers. But
it would have to be Floyd. Like, there's no person he can. There's not another person he can fight.
If he fought, because there's real boxers that want to fight him. If he fought, like, a real boxing champion, I think people would tune in to see him get his ass beat.
What about Andre Ward?
Yeah, they tune in because they want to see him get his ass beat. So they would tune in, not
to
60,
the tune of, okay.
Not 60.
Okay.
But
okay.
it would be the highest rated
30.
Combat fight this year.
30?
Or in 2025. On Netflix,
more or less.
On Netflix, yeah, absolutely.
Prize Picks, more or less.
I'd say less.
Yeah, I'll say a little less.
Okay.
I'll say more like 20.
Okay. That checks out. Have you seen the Ringer's top 25 players in the NBA?
I have not.
Don't look at it. Don't look at it.
I have not.
Don't look at it. Oh, we've got it. Dulo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, our man Will Z here with us. Will, we've got lots of numbers to talk about. From the last couple of days, getting ready for a couple of Kings games coming up. Actually, we've got a lot of Kings basketball on the way. And it doesn't start, though, till Friday at the Intuit Dome with the Kings and the Clippers in their second game for the Kings in the in-season tournament. However, the Ringer has released their top 25 players in the NBA.
Jesus.
We won't go from 25 to number one, but, well, let's see what we've got here. 25, Kyrie Irving. Number 24, Tyrese Maxey. Number 23, Kawhi Leonard. Number 22, Bam Adebayo.
Okay, no. All right, man.
21, Paolo Banchero. Number 20, De'Aaron Fox. Number 19, Domantas Sabonis. And number 18, Tyrese Halliburton. 17, Ja Morant. 16, Victor Wembanyama. Kenny needs a breather. It's okay, buddy. Go get a break. There are no numbers on the planet that support this type of theory. As a matter of fact, Will, Tyrese's season sucks to date.
Oh, it's been bad.
Not good at all. And this is comical.
Yeah. I mean, he's shooting 38.3% from the field, 28.8% from three. And, like, he still gets the assists, but it's just, I don't understand how he gets so much of a pass compared to other players. And it's great. He's still, I enjoy Tyrese. I will always root for him. But he seems to get more leeway than a lot of other players, especially the players that we see listed right below him.
I'm sorry, Will. I'm still trying to.
Yep, take your time.
Still trying to gather my thoughts.
No, I know.
Because it's like what both you guys just said. See, this is the issue. When we take our shots, when we have our jokes about Tyrese, it's not about Tyrese the man. We like Tyrese Halliburton. We celebrate him. But it's stuff like this. It's stuff like this that we look here in Sacramento.
Sorry. Indiana's in Houston. I'm just going to do my prize picks real quick. Why? Just go ahead and see what we got here with old Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, for sure. Hop on that. But, I mean, like you said, the grace and the understanding that he gets is just, it's nauseating, to be honest with you. Because, once again, this is why I said, this is what I've learned in this business. It just makes me look at all these people that when I was on the outside, these guys, they know the game. They talking the game, whatever. Now they just be looking like clowns. It's like y'all don't really know the game. Y'all don't really talk the game like that. Y'all have something else going on. And this is just another example of why I think that.
Yeah, and it's not like the Pacers are 6-8, which is fine, but it's not like they're 14-2 or something. Like they have a losing record as well. So it's just weird. I don't get it. Especially with what Fox has been doing recently. There is.
Oh, hell yeah. 18?
I check his box score every night now.
Oh,
take the less.
Come on now. Let me hop on that. Go ahead, Will. Talk to him about yourself. I got to hop on.
Yeah, get your apps out. Open your phones. I'm taking Steph more on 21.5 points. I'm taking less on Tyrese's 18. And I'm gonna find another part of my lineup here. Man, they got Giannis at 31.5 tonight. Goodness gracious.
Wow. So many.
Trae Young more than 10.5 assists.
Oh, nice.
I think I'm taking that.
You take him more against the Warriors?
Yeah. Trae Young is an assist machine right now.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm betting on Draymond. I'm gonna take less.
I love it.
I'm gonna take less. I'm gonna finalize this lineup and take that. William,
this is all filler to get to Tyrese. That's all it is. I just need players to go around so I can make this Tyrese bet.
Yeah.
Play.
Welcome Ben to the show, who's listening to Blame It on the Rain right now. So he's actually a little early. He's a little early. That's all right. Welcome to the show, Ben. Will, you had, I don't know if you've been able to publish the article yet, but we used the stats that you sent me privately with, you know, we were a little frustrated coming out of that 1-point loss on Monday against Atlanta, but man, they're missing a lot of, as you deemed them, bucket getters.
Yeah, and it's just so difficult when those are the three that are missing compared to if you're missing like Monk, McLaughlin, Sabonis, even like take any one of those three and have them on the court with Fox, and it feels more manageable. But when you're missing the three of them all at the same time, it just becomes so hard. The way this roster is constructed, I really like it when everyone's healthy. I think they have a really nice balance of like offensive players and defensive players coming in off the bench. But we saw it last year when Monk and Herter went down. And pretty much the whole bench at that point was just defense. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now. We saw Keon have 33 or so for his career high. But even with that, they still lost. I don't think they have the scoring when those three go down to kind of prop everyone else up. Obviously, that's how you get 60 points from Fox, like 60 and 49 and 28 or whatever he had in the third game. And those were all still really close games because, especially with Keegan kind of in a bit of a funk, we're just not seeing other players who can do what those three can. I think ideally we would have seen Keegan kind of go out and get his own bucket a few times, but it's the same way when the Kings got DeRozan, how everyone was bumped down a peg. Mm-hmm. And James always talks about this, how everyone's roles shift. And that includes who they're being guarded by. So Keegan probably goes from being guarded by the third or fourth best defender to now someone that a team would put on DeRozan is now guarding Keegan. So it makes his life so much harder in that aspect as well. And it's just a lot to weather. And every team's going to have injuries. It's no excuse. It's just kind of something that the numbers pointed out is a difficult situation to be in. And I'll give the Kings credit for getting wins with them out, but I am excited to get them back, hopefully.
You know, one of the things, interesting you brought up Keegan Murray. I need him to play better. I need him to play better. And I know that James has talked about, you know, how tired he is and all this other stuff. But I kind of don't want to hear that. Like, I expect, I don't look, once again, this is kind of like what we talked about with De'Aaron Fox a couple years ago. I don't look at you as some middling player. I don't look at you as some scrub. I look at Keegan Murray as potentially one of the top two-way 3-and-D guys in this league. And when I look at you as potentially that, you don't get tired. You don't get tired to the point where you just fall off the face of the earth. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he has to go have 30, but – you know, six attempts and 7 points and here and there and all, like that can't happen. And once again, that's because I think highly of Keegan Murray and his ability and what we've seen in these last two games. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to see that no more from Keegan Murray. I don't care if they're playing 4 and 5 nights, one game in 4 days, whatever. I don't want to see that no more. He's better than that, even in a somewhat tired state.
And it's, I think to me, the indecisiveness that he's shown has been not troubling. I just wish that he would be a little more, when he gets the ball and something doesn't work, he just kind of not gives up, maybe. I don't know. I just don't see him in that full attack mode where if he gets kind of, his dribble move doesn't work, then it'll kind of pass out to Fox. That's what the whole team was doing at the end of the Hawks game. Like, the offense looked so bad down the stretch. And it looked like at one point, Fox just said, just give me the effing ball. Like, I got this. Didn't work out, but just a little more decisiveness from Keegan. If you catch it and you're open, shoot it. If you have a lane, drive it. Just don't do things half speed. Like, you got to just make your full decision. And maybe that's where the mental tiredness kind of comes in that James is talking about.
We had a career night from Keon Ellis the other night. It's unfortunate, Will. We saw two amazing performances from De'Aaron Fox and Keon Ellis in the last couple of games, and both of them resulted in losses. But were there any interesting numbers you saw in diving into Keon's game this past Monday?
I think just how many times he shot the ball, like 15 three-point attempts is so many. I want to look at...
Considering he played 10 minutes the game before, is pretty incredible.
Yeah. But you could see the team, like, they were finding him and, like, they were going, trying to get him the ball for sure when he was on. I don't know what's going on with him going to the locker room, but he didn't hit a shot after that. He was 9 of 12 when he went to the locker room and finished with the 9 makes. So definitely something to kind of keep an eye on with that. But just his aggressiveness, I think, is great when he's out there on the court, especially when everyone's healthy. He's not going to have the 33 minutes that he played the other night. And just, can you hit the shots when they're out there? Especially with DeRozan coming back, the court will shrink up a bit inside. So keeping that three-point shot going is so important. And we need to see how they blend the kind of injury games with the pre-injury games. And they didn't have the three-point shooting pre-injury. Now they have the three-point shooting, but they're kind of missing some of the other aspects. So how do you blend those two and key on not only making those threes, but even just taking them and that volume, I think is a really good fit for this team going forward.